And it reminded me of something that's just always true, and it is simply this. There are always going to be new obstacles that we face in this world. Whether you're talking about what's going on internationally or what's happening within our own land, whether you're talking about what's taking place in your family or in your life, there's always going to be those times when we face challenges, and most of those challenges are going to be unexpected ones. We're going to discover that one day we got up thinking everything was going our way, and suddenly the world turned upside down. And so often I think we're tempted to feel overwhelmed because life can seem so non-stop. Don't you think? And sometimes it seems as though we live in an age of overload, information overload, opportunity overload, commitment overload, communication overload. You know, it seems as though these days we live in a world where things seem to change instantly, and we have to make instant decisions and instant adjustments and instant transformations because the world is moving so fast, and you run as hard as you can, but sooner or later you feel like, I can't go any further. I'm about to crash. I'm not sure where to go next. If only we could find some sort of rhythm for our lives, a way to be productive but not overwhelmed, to make a difference without feeling completely depleted. If only somehow we could find a way to live our lives in some sort of balance. You know, that was really the lesson that we read together a few moments ago in our scripture when we were reading out of Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes 3 is that passage that reminds us all of the time that life comes in rhythms, that there's a time for one thing and then a time for another, that there is an opportunity for us to find ourselves busy and a time for us to find time to rest. That's what I want to talk about for the next 6 weeks. For the next 6 weeks, I'm going to share a very special series of messages, and they're all going to come from the final 26 verses of the 6th chapter of Mark. And I'm going to call this series that we're doing together A Day in the Life, because that's really what those verses describe. Those verses describe what happened to Jesus, to his disciples, and to the people around him over the course of a single day. And Mark records it all, and he reminds us that Jesus went from one thing to another, one need to another, or one opportunity to another, one action to another. And we're going to be looking together at how Jesus did all of those things, and he kept it all in pace. He kept it all in rhythm. So we're going to be looking together at that and how Jesus used those events to change the lives of the people around him. And it all began when the disciples returned from a life-changing assignment that the Lord had given them, because it was there as they returned that Jesus began to teach them about the fact that you live your life in a rhythm of grace, that you live your life in a way that God will bless and God can bless and God wants to bless. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by life, if you feel like there are too many demands on your time and too many people who need things from you and too many things to do and even too many good things that you have to choose between, I want you to listen to the message today, because God's going to give you a sense of how you can find peace and rhythm in the midst of a very busy world. So let's jump in together and let's see what the Lord has to say. The first thing that you see in the passage that we looked at this morning is simply this. Jesus combined a great challenge with a great responsibility. This is what Jesus was doing at the beginning of Mark chapter 6. The Bible says that Jesus called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. This is a new thing for the disciples. They've never experienced anything like this before. Jesus is giving them a command, a commission, and they're going to go and do something, and they're not sure they're prepared for it. What's he going to do? He's divided them up, 12 disciples, 6 pairs. He's sending them all out in different directions because he wants them to begin to learn what it means to proclaim the gospel, to meet needs, to touch lives, to see people transformed by the power of the Lord. And he's sending them out, and here's the thing. And he's not going to be there. For the first time since they started following him, he is saying, I want you to go and do the Lord's work, and I'll wait for you right here. They were to proclaim the kingdom. They were to use God's power to set people free. They were going to learn what it meant to be used by God. And so they paired off and they were sent in different directions. And they stepped out in faith. And they saw God's hand at work. It was the most amazing experience they'd ever had. Wherever they went, they saw God's hand at work. Sometimes they saw people responding to the message of the gospel. Sometimes they touched people and they were made well. Sometimes they did battle with demons and they won the fight. It was incredible. They didn't realize God could use them in this way, and yet he had. And every day they were busy. They went from place to place, from town to town. There was never time to slow down, but they were busy about doing things God wanted them to do. It was incredible. Wherever they went, God blessed them. It was the first step of living a spiritually balanced life, because this is what God wants every one of us to know if we're going to keep our lives in balance. You need to find something worth doing, something God is calling you to do, and you need to do it as hard as you can. One of the things that God calls all of us to do is to be busy about his work, busy about doing well. There's a blessing in busyness, especially when you give everything you have to something that's worth doing. Now, that's true in your life spiritually. It's also true in your life vocationally. It's true in your life within your family. And it's true in your life wherever you go. And it's true in your life as a student. It's true in your life no matter what. If God gives you an opportunity, if God puts something in front of you, his expectation is you're going to give everything you have to him. You're not going to say, I'll do this halfway and then I'll stop. I'm going to take on this project, but then I'll quit. We are to commit ourselves to being about what God wants us to do. That's a little bit of what's going on with this Future Vision Task Force. We're looking at what is it God wants us to be about as a Church of Jesus Christ in Birmingham, Alabama, in these days. Until you've gone the extra mile serving him, you will never truly experience what the Christian life is all about. And anyone who's sitting here today and they're saying, you know, I'm doing my best to be a good Christian, but the truth is, I kind of get bored with it. I'm kind of not doing anything special with my life. You need to understand that the problem is not that there's not something worth doing. It's that you're not giving everything you have to him and serving him and serving people, fulfilling a task, completing a commission, giving him the best that you have. But that's not all that the Lord did. He also put this huge challenge in front of his disciples. He said, I'm going to send you out. You're going two by two. I'm not going to be with you. This is going to be completely what you're able to do in the power of the Lord. Oh, and by the way, don't take anything with you. Don't take any food. Don't take any extra clothes. Don't take any provisions. Don't take anything. Well, okay. You can take a staff. That's what the Lord said to them. So as they set out going to all these places through something never done before, maybe going to towns they've never seen before in order to carry a message that they've been given for the very first time, now they're being told, and don't take anything to take care of yourself. Don't take any food. Don't take anything to drink. Don't take any provisions. Don't take any extra clothes. Just go. Why is the Lord doing this to them? Because he wanted them to learn what it means to really trust the Lord. They had to depend upon him to provide for them. So every day they got up, every day they worked hard, and every day they trusted the Lord to provide, and he did. We don't know exactly what happened. We know there were people that probably helped them with food. There may have been some times when they were able to find something that they could gather and prepare for themselves. We don't really know. What we know is this. Every day, God took care of them. Every day, when they didn't know what was going on or how they were going to accomplish it, God took care of them. And it's a reminder to us as followers of Jesus that that's what the Lord counts on us to do. We are to trust him to take care of us. We do live in an uncertain world. We do live in a world where things can go wrong. We do live in a world where we may not always have the answers, but this is one thing we do know. God's going to take care of us. In his way and in his time, God's going to do what only God can do. And when he does it, you will know that was him. You did not do that for yourself. All of us know we are constantly dependent upon the Lord. But sometimes we have to be reminded. Sometimes we have to be reminded that without him, you have nowhere to turn. That without him, you have nowhere to go. You have to depend upon the Lord. And when you trust him, you learn the Lord is absolutely trustworthy. By the time these disciples returned to Jesus, they were so excited about what God had done in their lives. They had to admit, you know, when we first started, I was pretty scared. I didn't know what to do. I'd never done this before. But God called on me to step out, and I did it. And by the time they came back, not one of them or two of them, but all of them were excited. We've seen God at work. So they came back to Jesus, and Jesus made time to let them celebrate. That's something you need to do when the Lord has done something amazing in you or through you or to you. You need to experience the heart-deep satisfaction that comes from knowing, I gave God everything, and then I saw him do something with it. I trusted him completely, and he came through. And God blessed us. And Mark says this, it says, and then the disciples gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Can you imagine what it must have been like when the disciples came back to Jesus that day? They came back and they were so excited about what had happened. And all of these men are talking over one another in their eagerness to tell the Lord what had happened to them. And they were swapping stories with each other, where they'd been and who they'd met and what had happened. And every one of them had been used by God in ways they could never imagine. Can you imagine what that gathering must have been like? Lord, let me tell you about what happened to me. No, let me tell you about what happened to me. You won't believe what happened when we were in this town or that town or the other. You won't believe how we encountered resistance and God came through and he blessed us. It was the most incredible thing ever. And there in the center of the group was Jesus, listening intently, smiling broadly, laughing openly. All of them knew the Lord is proud of what I've done. The Lord is so pleased that I stepped out in faith and I discovered strength in myself through the Lord that I would never have known was there. The Lord wants all of us to celebrate the blessings of our lives. When God does something special in your life, when you step out and do something hard because he told you to, when you are trusting him in ways you've never trusted him before, and you see the hand of the Lord working in your life, He wants you to celebrate that. He wants you to be so excited about what God has done in your life. Sometimes we're afraid to do that. In fact, sometimes we think, maybe I ought not to be so excited. Maybe I ought not to be so proud. Maybe I ought not to be so glad to have been used by God that way. But the Lord wants you to celebrate. He wants you to celebrate in your family. He wants you to celebrate in your work. He wants you to celebrate in your life. He wants it to be true in your spiritual life. He wants you to see God do amazing things and then be excited that God let you be a part of it. You know, when an athletic team wins a championship and they gather together in the locker room after it's over and they begin to share what happened during the game, and I got to make this play and I was in on that, and did you see what he did and what she did, and did you see all of that? That was exciting. And one thing will always be true, and it's that nobody wants to leave until you've celebrated together. And the same thing is true in the kingdom of God. Whether you're talking about a church or whether you're talking about a group of folks you're a part of, you just want to be excited about what God has done. In the rush of our days, we're tempted to overlook the celebration and just move on to the next challenge. Okay, I did this for the Lord. He told me to, and I've accomplished that, and now I'm moving on. And God says to us, wait a minute, wait. Celebrate. Celebrate what God has done in your life. Celebration's important. It becomes part of the history of your life. And when those great things happen, when those big things take place, there'll be days when you're going to face new hardships and new challenges and new difficulties, and it will be so good for you to look backwards and say, you know what? God's going to be faithful because I remember when he was faithful before. I remember when he took care of me. Because there are always going to be challenges. There's always going to be obstacles. Those memories restore your confidence. They renew your hope. It's a good thing to remember when God has done something special through you. I have a folder in my office, one of my drawers. I've had that thing most of the years of my ministry. Every now and then I pull it out and I look at part of it again. You know what I call it? I call it Strokes from Folks. And you know what I put in there? Cards and notes and letters and expressions where people have said, when God used you in this way, it blessed my life. I appreciate what you said to me. I thank you for what you've done for me. And you know, I don't get it right every day. I hope I get it right twice a week. But those times when somebody can say, thank you for what you did, words of encouragement, words of appreciation, boy, those things just, they'll build you up. You know, when you get a note, just this past week I got a text, built me up. Several folks who talked to me about last week's message and built me up, and I felt pretty good about things. We need to remember those strokes from folks. You know what I don't have in my office? I don't have a folder that says criticisms and complaints. I could have. Sometimes it seems as though those are the easier things to remember, but we also remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, because that's where he said, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What's he saying? When you encounter difficulties, complaints, and criticisms, you deal with it that day. Let it go. Let it go and walk away. Never rob yourself of the satisfaction that comes from knowing that the Lord is pleased with you. So Jesus sent them out two by two. Then they came back in and they got to celebrate together what God had done. And then Jesus did something really important. Jesus took time for renewal. Several years ago, I was at a state meeting, and I was in a workshop that took a day learning about a book that really got my attention. It's called Beneath the Surface was the name of the book. And it was a book about what happens when spiritual leaders fall spiritually and morally. It was about what happens when God's people fall. I'll be honest with you, it was a book that made a powerful impression on me. So much that when I got home, I bought copies of that book and I led my staff through it together. And the writer asked this question. When do you think a committed Christian is more likely to fall? When do you think it is that someone who is a spiritual leader, who has a long history of spiritual leadership, suddenly finds themselves falling and failing? So when he was most attacked by the power of temptation? So when he's become spiritually weak, when he's been neglecting his walk with God? And this is what the writer concluded. He said, we are more likely to fall after some great spiritual effort. After we have seen God do something incredible through our lives. Why is that? This is what he said. He said, that's when you're more likely to fall because you're going to be a satanic target. Anytime you allow yourself to stand out from the crowd, you're going to be a target of the enemy. And he said it's because after great spiritual effort, you're often depleted spiritually, physically, emotionally. You're drained and you don't take time to renew your spirit. And you leave yourself vulnerable. Now that was scary to me. And it also made me understand what Jesus was doing with his disciples that day. He knew that they had been involved in something incredibly meaningful. He also knew this. And before the day was over, they were going to face more challenges, more opportunities, more obstacles. So this is what he commanded disciples to do. He said, come apart aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Just get off by yourself and rest. Part of the rhythm of life is realizing sometimes you have to make time for God to do restoring work in your heart. That doesn't mean that you have to go to a deserted island. But it does mean that sometimes you need to sit on your back porch and just let yourself rest for a while. Sometimes it means you need to go down to the ocean and listen to the sounds at the beach. Sometimes it means you need to go and sit beside a mountain stream and listen as it runs over the rocks. It means you go to that place where for a while you can let God do restoring work in your soul. Now there's a huge temptation there, and the huge temptation is this: we all think that we're too busy and we're too important to stop for a little while. After all, the world around us tells us, go faster, go more, go further. But sometimes we just need to stop. I'm not a hunter, but I know a lot of you are, a lot of you men are. Some of you ladies. Over the years, I don't know how many times I have talked to hunters who have said, the whole point of this is not to shoot anything. It's just to be by myself for a little while. Jesus pulled the disciples out and he said, let's step aside and let's rest for a little while. Let's come aside so that we can be renewed, physically restored, emotionally replenished, spiritually restored. One of the greatest signs that you need to take time in your life to step aside and renew is this: when you are convinced you just can't do it right now. That's when it's time to stop and let God do what only God can do. That's when you need to come aside and be in the presence of Christ. So Jesus said to his disciples, first he said, let's go two by two. I'm going to use you in an incredible way. Then they came back and he celebrated with them as they shared with one another what God had done in their lives. And then he took them and said, come aside. And they rested and restored. But don't miss what happened next. And this is what happened next. And then Jesus led them right back into the world again. He called his disciples to come apart for a while, but he never intended for them to stay there. You know, sometimes in our lives spiritually, you may have a mountaintop kind of experience where you're just kind of close to the Lord and you're there, and kind of like the apostles during the transfiguration, you want to say, Lord, let's just stay here. Let's just stay here. Lord never says, just stay here. He says, there's a world around you, and they still need you. The spiritual needs of people were still all around them. This is what the Bible says. It says, he called them to come about for a little while, but then it says, and there were many coming and going. In other words, the world was still going on all around them. And there will always be challenges, and there will always be opportunities, and there will always be problems to solve, and there will always be needs to meet, and there will always be people who need to be loved and touched. And the Lord will always have plans for you. And the Lord who calls you to come about apart for a little while is also the Lord who will say, now look around yourself. See the people who need you. And step back into the world where you can take the name of Jesus. Because that's where you're going to see people as they're coming and going. And that's where you can share the gospel. And that's where you can show his love. And that's where you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And that's the rhythm of life. Go and serve. Come and celebrate. Step aside and rest. Go back into the world and let me use you. Don't know where you are spiritually this morning. There may be folks here and things are just exactly where they should be in your life. There may be folks here and the truth is you're just tired this morning. It may be that you're not sure where to turn next or what to do next. My suggestion to you is, jump into the rhythm of faith, the one that Jesus brought his disciples through, because it wasn't just for them, it's for all of us. And find God's plan, and let God's plan be fulfilled in your life when you give yourself to him with all your heart. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're not a believer. The truth is, this message was really for those who belong to the Lord more than for you. But I would never want you to leave this place and not understand that's what God wants to do in your life. The reason Jesus sent the disciples out two by two and let them go into all of these places is because Jesus understood we live in a world where people need to know that God cares. People need to know that Jesus came. People need to know that he died to carry your sins to the cross. And you need to know that he rose again so that you could have everlasting life. And they went two by two, and wherever they went, they shared the good news that anybody can have a relationship with Jesus, including you. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, one of the things you need to know is he loves you so much. He gave his life for you. He redeemed you so that you could have eternal life. And all you have to do is trust him. And today, if you would like to become a believer, in a moment when we sing our hymn of invitation, I'm going to be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins is going to be here. We would each love to talk to you about how you can become a Christian. And all you got to do is walk forward and just take one of us by the hand and say, show me how to trust Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning and he's calling you to be part of what he's doing through First Baptist Church. To plant your life here, to serve him here, because this is where he's calling you to be. And today you need to come and say, today I just want to plant my life, my membership at First Baptist. Or maybe God's calling you in a special way and you just need to come and say, this is what God's calling me to do. Pray for me. And pray that I will be as effectively used as those disciples were so long ago. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord.
Been a good day in God's house today. Encourage you to be back tonight, 5 o'clock. We're going to be continuing on with our Romans study, and we're going to look at some ways that God uses people who are yielded to him. So I hope you'll be here for that. We've had a great crowd and a great time each Sunday night. I want you to be part of it. Let's join together for our closing prayer. Let me remind you once again that we have deacons in the lobby today with offering plates. We'll be receiving that gift for the folks to do relief for the folks in Ukraine. Right now, the president of the International Mission Board, Dr. Paul Chitwood, is in Poland directing Baptist efforts as we seek to meet the needs of those hundreds of thousands of folks who literally are leaving home with just the clothes on their back and a need to be reached out to in the name of Jesus. So I encourage you to be a part of that offering. Let's bow together now for our closing prayer and then our final song. Father, we thank you that life is your gift to us. And that, Father, you send us and you call us back and you rejoice with us and you recommission us. Father, thank you that being a Christian is something we do and not just something we are. Help us, Lord, to be about the rhythm of life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.